Hey everyone, welcome to our first Nothing But Abs interview. We're taping this call to give you the lowdown on what you need to be doing to get your abs into the best shape ever. Before we go any further though, I want to introduce you to Mike Geary. Now, in case you've been living on another planet for the past 12 months and haven't heard of Mike, here's a quick rundown. Mike's a national dual certified personal fitness trainer. With customers and subscribers in over 80 countries, Mike is the author of the popular international selling book, The Truth About Six-Pack Abs. For those of you who are die-hard fitness mag fanatics, you would recognize Mike's name from the world-renowned Muscle and Fitness magazine, for which he is a contributing writer. Thanks, Mike, for speaking with us today. We appreciate your time.
No problem, Mandy. I'm actually pretty excited to do this call with you. I know this is a pretty confusing topic for a lot of people and something that people are struggling with. I know there's a lot of confusion out there about all of the conflicting diets on the market today, what's the best nutrition for fat loss, the best types of cardio, all of the abs machines that people see marketed, and there's a lot of hype surrounding supplements and all these fat burner pills and everything. So hopefully what we'll do here today is just debunk a lot of these myths and hype that you see out there today. Mm-hmm. I also want to cover some of the biggest mistakes that I see people making from working in a lot of gyms and from dealing with a lot of my customers online. There's a lot of people that still do a lot of body part training, which isn't necessarily the best thing for fat loss if that's what they're looking for, fat loss, to be able to see their abs. Mm-hmm. We'll also kind of delve into the fad diets and some of these ineffective abs exercises that a lot of people are spending way too much of their time on. And also, I see a lot of people wasting a lot of time with these slow, boring cardio routines, and so we'll kind of touch on that too. So have at it, Mandy. Give me your first question.
Okay. One of the biggest concerns that subscribers to VFT have is the constant plugging of abdominal machines and fads and deciding what's junk and what's not. What have you got, advice-wise, to give to the folk listening who find it hard to say no to the ongoing scams that so many people fall victim to?
Well, what I see, there's a lot of... I watch these... the commercials that come on, the infomercials, and you see all these different ab gadgets. You know, they want you to just strap on some belt or, mm-hmm. or you know, pump away on this little ab rocker or roller or whatever it may be, and while you sit there and watch TV. And they show these ripped models on the infomercial, and I think it gives people hope. It makes people believe that they can just use this little gadget a couple minutes a day and they're just going to miraculously get, you know, ripped six-pack abs in no
yep.
time. So and not only that, but there's a lot, you know, even in the magazines and on other commercials and advertisements, you know, there's all these fat loss pills and the fad diets and everything. And I think, to be honest, most of it is a waste of money. Again, what they're doing is they're preying on the consumer's desire for an overnight solution or a quick fix. And quick fixes almost always backfire in the long run. I mean, for example, even if one of these methods was mildly effective at creating some results quickly, what's going to happen is a lot of times you're going to lose muscle, you're going to reduce your metabolic rate, and what that does is eventually in the long run you gain more body fat back.
Yeah.
And you actually end up with a slower metabolism, and when you come back to these ab gadgets, I mean, pretty much they do nothing to burn fat, which is what most people are looking to do. I mean, some of them are more effective than others, and they might help a little bit with developing the muscle underneath the fat. But actually, you know, in my book, in the Truth About Abs book, I go into all the best exercises for that, and you don't need any of these gadgets. Most of them are just body weight exercises and specifically for the abs. But again, I think what we want to get into mostly, because what I'd say 95% of people need to do to really to get that six-pack look to see their abs is to lose the stomach fat that's covering them.
Yeah.
So we need to give a good, you know, a good baseline for people to, you know, here are the best abdominal exercises to develop your abs. But more importantly, let's look at what you're doing with, you know, your nutrition, your diet, and your training program as a whole, to really stimulate your metabolism and get rid of that stomach fat so you can actually see those abs that are underneath. Because most people probably already have those abs underneath. They just can't see them.
Yeah, that's right.
So
I'm sure you've heard this question like hundreds of times, but we'll ask you again anyway. How would you recommend going about achieving a flat tummy?
Well, all right, I guess, again, I'd say our first priority recommendation I'd make is let's focus on body fat reduction.
Yep.
So, you know, you can do a million crunches and sit-ups, and it's not going to burn fat off of the stomach. And that's the, you know, the myth of spot reduction, which we all know doesn't work.
Yes.
So what I like to focus on is your training program as a whole. And, you know, let's... Now, abs exercises are going to be a certain portion of that. They are important. You know, they're important for a healthy back and posture and obviously just to develop the muscles there in the first place. But, I mean, that's a small portion of your program. And
yes.
Plus, a lot of the full body exercises that I recommend indirectly work the abdominals and core anyway, because you're doing these big multi-joint exercises, you know, using your entire body almost at once, and you know, and that's where you get the real results, because that's where you you really get your metabolism kicking, and you really burn a lot more calories than if you're just working a tiny muscle group like the abs.
Yes.
So I guess you know what I usually recommend to people is, because I'll see a lot of people, they'll just do this maybe a half an hour on the treadmill, and then they'll do, you know, 200 crunches or whatever it may be, and that's their workout, trying to lose stomach fat. But really what we need to focus on is the bigger picture, the big exercises that stimulate the most metabolic response. So that would be, you know, the stuff that works the biggest muscle groups in your body. So you're just focusing on the biggest muscle groups, the legs, the butt, the back, the chest, instead of just working the abs. And all that's covered in my book. And actually, I have a unique way that I combine all the exercises and everything to get the best bang for your buck in terms of burning fat.
Yeah. And so reducing your waistline and your love handles, which I always call your jeans overhang, I know that's pretty tough going in trying to reduce that. So those same rules that you've just spoken about, that would apply to this trouble spot as well?
Yeah, actually, I think I've heard the term that people call that jeans overhang, the muffin top.
Yeah.
But again, you know, a lot of it gets back to some of the principles we've already been talking about. Now, when you change your thinking about exercise, and you start applying some of these principles, it really changes your whole body. I mean, you don't need to sit there on an exercise bike or a treadmill for 2 hours a day and go at this, you know, boring slow rate that's you know, while you're sitting there watching TV or reading a magazine or something. I mean, exercise should be, you know, for people that are capable of it, should be a little bit higher intensity. And that's, you know, what we like to get out of the workouts I design, because that's what really changes everything that's going on in your body. That it changes your hormonal response. You get more production of fat-burning hormones. It increases your resting metabolic rates. You're burning more calories 24/7, and that's what changes the shape of your body as you go. I mean, instead of just trying to isolate muscle groups, and where you're not really getting this total body change. And I always tell people, you know, once you get this down, I mean, as the weeks go by, you know, usually within 3 to 4 weeks, people start to notice their entire body changing. So instead of just trying to reduce those love handles, or, you know, by doing side bends, or trying to reduce their tummy by, you know, doing crunches, you're not really affecting your body that much. You're not really causing that hormonal response. Mm. And that's where, you know, the types of routines, the way we combine full body exercises and the way we combine high intensity, multi-joint exercises into programs, it gets that response much better.
And in regards to having chiseled abs, as you've spoken about before, it is a really popular topic, and it's what everyone wants to have, but they prefer to take shortcuts with it if they can. Who doesn't? And so what would your hottest tips be on achieving etched abs, so really cut abs?
All right, well, to get your abs really cut, generally most guys need to get below about 10% body fat. Mm. And when you get down around, everybody's a little bit different with how the body fat's distributed, but when you get down around like 7 to 8% for guys, the abs really start to come out. And for women, you know, around like 15% is usually pretty good to be able to see their abs. Now, obviously you need a certain amount of abdominal development. I know I've probably seemed like I'm downplaying that so far in this interview, because I'm saying, well, we don't want to spend too much time on abs exercises because we want to lose that body fat, so we want to do all these, you know, these much more high intensity drills, like some of these what I call like my secret weapons, like one arm snatches and one arm swings and clean and presses and high pulls and mountain climbers and some of these exercises that most people, to be honest, in most gyms that I go to, I don't see anybody doing these. And these these are like the most effective exercises for really getting ripped, for really losing body fat.
Yep.
But back to the, obviously we need a certain level of ab development too to have that shape, that six pack look. So, and that's all covered in my book too. With, we need to when you actually are doing your abdominal training, you do need to sort of look away from, you know, after an extent, once you're past the beginner stages, you need to look away from just the crunches and these really easy exercises that don't put much resistance on the abs, and look to some exercises that really provide a much higher resistance to develop the abs better. I mean, one, for example, is like a hanging leg raise with a proper pelvic curl-up. I know a lot of people I see attempting hanging leg raises, but they don't actually do the pelvic curl-up. And that's one of the key points to that, because it's a whole different world once you actually turn the pelvis up and you're actually curling your whole lower body up. There's a lot more resistance that's required. It's a lot stronger contraction required in your abs.
And yep.
So I go into all that in the book as well, with how to actually use some of these higher resistance abs exercises to get the best ab development. And then throughout the rest of the book, we get into all of the fat burning tips and hormonal response and metabolism increase and everything, and diet.
All the top secret stuff.
Yep.
One more thing that I wanted to ask you about too. We're always, discussing with people and hearing people talking about the term eating clean. So don't eat junk food, and that, nutrition plays a huge part in reducing body fat. So in your opinion, what are the best foods for whittling down the waistline?
Yeah, this is a big one, because this is, I'd say, where there's the most confusion out there. I was just out shopping today, actually, and I was going through a magazine, a bookstore, and you see all of the headlines on the magazines, and I whatever you look at, each magazine and book was giving a different opinion on diets. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, and they all contradict each other. So you can't, it's obvious why there's so much confusion out there. No one knows what is right. And the thing is that I don't think there is any magical formula of carbs, fat, protein for everyone. There's all this. In the past few years, there's been, for a while, the low-carb diet and was really popular, and now that's pretty much been fading, and low-fat diets were popular for years, and they kind of faded away. But there's certain, groups of people that sort of stick with some of this and think that, their way is best, that low fat is best, that low carb is best, that high protein is best. And I don't think any of that necessarily applies. I think it could be made much more simple than that.
Well, that's good news. You know,
and one of the biggest things, one of the biggest concepts I try and teach people is actually that it's, for the most part, it's as long as you attain a good balance of carbs, fat, and protein, and just good nutrition density in your foods, so that you're not eating foods that are stripped of their nutrients, like white bread and white rice, and things that you know, have been processed and sort of their, you know, like white bread, the you know, the fiber is stripped out of them, the nutrients are stripped out of them, and then they throw back in a couple vitamins, and they, you know, they call it enriched bread, and and try and make it out to be something healthy, but it's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just an example, but basically it all comes back to, I always tell people it's the processing of food that messes up a good thing. If you focus on unprocessed food, I mean, that's the key to eating healthy, and I guess you could say eating clean. I mean, with everything, it's the processing. Basically, anything that's in a box, you know, that's processed heavily most of the time, I mean, just to make a generalization, it's going to be worse for you than something that's unprocessed in its natural state. And, you know, there's different, it's a tough subject because there's different things that some people have to look out for that others don't. You know, some people are sensitive to dairy. Some people are sensitive to wheat, and there's all these different things, but that's up to each individual to know. That's, each person has to know, you know, if they have a problem with dairy, they should know that. If they have a problem with wheat, they should know that. Things.
Yeah.
But back to the general concept, if you focus, no matter what your limitations are, if you focus on the processing of food and just make sure, you know, 95% of everything you eat is, and you don't have to be perfect either. I mean, we can all have our cheat days, as everybody likes to call it, and I think that's good for mentally and physically. If most of what you're doing is good and unprocessed food and high nutrient density, fruits, vegetables, you know, meats, just good variety in your diet, so you're getting all the essential nutrients that your body needs, things sort of work themselves out. I mean, you control your appetite. You no longer have these wild mood swings and hunger pangs because your blood sugar's all over the place.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're throwing your hormones out of whack because you're eating, you know, so much sugar or so much trans fat or, you know, all these nasty things that they throw into processed food. So I think, you know, a lot of that starts to straighten itself out, and you really start to notice the difference quick. I mean, once people get their diets right, that's when the real results really start to come. And I go into all this in really, really good detail in the book with, you know, all this about glycemic index and, you know, healthy fats versus processed fats and fiber and the hormonal response to food and caloric intake and you know, all this type of stuff we get into and into a good deal in the book. So also we have a lot of just sort of example meal plans, sort of ideas. I know a lot of people are busy and they need just quick meal plan ideas for, you know, to take with them onto the, you know, to when they go to their jobs or they're going to be out traveling. So give people some other ideas like that, and I'll tell you, you know, if people really stick to it, I mean, what happens is people are emailing me back, you know, a month later, and they're just ecstatic with the results they're getting because, you know, they're not trying to follow some gimmick anymore, you know, that they can't live with for the rest of their life. And that's what it meant. You're not going to eat this, you know, no carb diet for the rest of your life. It's just not realistic. So finding something that works for you for the long term is key. And
definitely.
So I think that's, you know, what I try and teach people.
Great. I know I said one more question before, but I do have one more. the whole cardio thing, I know we've sort of covered that a little bit earlier on in the call, but everyone sort of wants to know what the best cardio activity is to perform when trying to cut back on body fat. Is there one that you would recommend that's, or a specific activity that you would recommend, like, that's optimum for fat loss?
Yeah. Now, I have pretty strong opinions on the subject, and I think I already kind of touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in long, slow duration, same pace cardio. So where somebody just gets on the treadmill or the exercise bike or the elliptical machine and just goes at the same pace for 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it may be. I've actually taken an entire course in this, in that we're not meant to train at the same heart rate for extended periods of time. To really train your heart optimally, we're meant to be training through wide ranges of heart rates, rate ranges.
Yeah.
And this also gets back to it actually stimulates your metabolism more too when you train at a very varied intensity. So now, and I know most people actually probably already know this, but with interval training, I do think interval training is a much better form of cardio training than.
And it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, and it's much more interesting. I mean, how many people want to sit there and be bored to tears for an hour on an exercise bike or treadmill when they can when they can do something that's changing constantly for 20 minutes and just get it done with, and you're in and out in 20 minutes and you got your a much higher intensity, Now here's where one of the confusion lies is that there is some scientific basis for when you're at a certain sustained heart rate of a lower intensity that you burn a higher percentage of fat during that time. But when you train at a higher intensity, you may burn a slightly lower percentage of fat and a higher percentage of carbs.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is you burn more calories because when you're done that workout and for the next, 24 hours or, day to day and a half to 2 days, you actually have a slightly higher metabolic rate than when you, because you actually triggered some muscular damage that needs to be repaired in the body. And that's not a bad thing when I say damage. That's a good thing. Your body is just doing some repair work from the exercise that you did. And that makes you burn a lot more calories in the long run. So, you could just throw out some example numbers. Say you burned 500 calories in your slow, boring cardio routine that took you an hour, but in your 20-minute high-intensity routine, you burned only 300 calories. Well, that's great, but during the next 24 hours, that workout will have increased your metabolism enough so that you burn an extra 300 calories compared to the slow workout. So now you actually burned more calories because of the high intensity workout than the slow. So in the long run, your body changes a lot better when you're working at a higher intensity and a varied intensity. Mm-hmm. And I kind of go beyond this in my book too, because I like to give people options other than just a lot of people just think of interval training as, all right, you go at a slow pace for a minute, then you go at a high pace for a minute, then a slow pace for a minute, high pace, or you go at like this rate, then a slightly higher rate, then a slightly higher rate, and then you come back down and then keep changing. But I actually designed my programs because I really want people to get the best results in the most reasonable amount of time. And so what we do is there's a lot of high intensity full type exercises that actually incorporate weight training exercises. And the way that you mix them, it becomes a cardio workout. I don't really make a distinction between let's do weight training here, and then this day is going to be for cardio training. I mean, the way that we combine our programs is you actually get both at the same time because I don't think they necessarily need to be separate. And that helps for time management.
Yeah, definitely.
People get better results, and it works great.
Is there anything else that you would like to share?
No, I guess that's about it. You know, hopefully that this call will help people get some things straightened out.
That about wraps it up, folks. Thanks so much, Mike, for taking the time to speak to us today about toning and trimming our midsections. I'm sure many of you listening to this interview will be impressed with Mike's hard-hitting, cutting-edge advice that has reinforced his position as being a guru in the field of abs. Once again, if you haven't had the time to check out Mike's site, go do it now. Just click on the link included in your email that contains the details to this interview. Thanks again, Mike. It's been great speaking with you today. And thank you to all of you for tuning into this call.
Thanks, Mandy.
Okay. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.